Welcome to another thrilling episode of You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia. I am your host, Mike McGrath, and in the question of the week, we'll be discussing, maybe that was a Freudian slip there, kids, because we'll be discussing flies. Isn't that wonderful? Or isn't perhaps disgusting? Well, don't worry about that, because we're going to have lots of your fabulous phone calls. First, Dawn, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Thank you. How are you, Mike?
I am just ducky, Dawn. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
I'm doing well if you're doing well.
There we go. That's the spirit. Where is Dawn doing well?
I live in Tri-State, Missouri, a little village of 150 people, halfway between Joplin and Springfield.
Okay. How humid is it this summer?
It's very, very hot. Very, very dry.
It's dry? So, that's really unusual for you guys. When I've traveled to Missouri, it's always been humid in the summer.
Yes, right.
All right. What can we do for you today?
I have a tabletop lemon plant that I bought a year ago. It has four lemons on it, and I took it outside about 2 months ago, and it hasn't produced any new leaves or buds, and I wondered if it goes through a rest period. And also, I can't remember what kind of fertilizer I should be using. I have several different kinds, and there's been a conflict between what I've read on whether it should be low nitrogen or high nitrogen. I know it takes a year for the lemon to grow, and I hope to be picking one at the end of summer. It's just starting to turn yellow.
You are right to be confused. The instructions on these miniature dwarf lemon plants can be confusing. More than likely, you've got the famous Meyer lemon, which produces, you know, pretty much full-size lemon fruits on a very compact tree.
Right.
Now, remember one thing. Your tree is grafted. So
right. Mm-hmm.
if you choose to repot it in the future, make sure that visible line, that scar down below, is always above the soil line. That always needs to be exposed.
Okay, well, maybe when I put a little soil in there, maybe I've covered it up. Would that be the problem?
No, it would not be the problem now.
Okay.
If you cover the graft, you might get growth from the rootstock, and that would start becoming a problem. You can get down there with a pair of chopsticks or your fingers and just scrape away soil from around the trunk. In general, these plants are kind of the reverse of our summertime gardens. Most Meyer lemons are going to flower around Christmas or New Year's, and then they're going to produce their fruits in the late winter, early spring, indoors.
Right.
Even people who don't have success getting fruit will keep that plant around because it is a beautiful-looking plant, and the smell of the flowers is unparalleled.
It is, and they don't smell like a lemon. That's interesting to me.
So I don't know what kind of fertilizers do you have. Are they all chemical?
I have two liquid fertilizers. One is a 30-10-10, and the other one is a 15-30-15, and I didn't know which of those I should be using.
Well, they're both pretty harsh chemical salts. One of the problems with using chemicals in a house plant is they are all salt-based, and the salt is going to build up in the soil. And no plant needs that much nitrogen.
And I also recently got some granular fertilizer, a 12-4-8, that I put on top because that's what they had sprinkled on it when I got it.
What do they call it? Do they say it's for plant use in general, for house plants, or what?
They just say in general, I guess.
Those numbers are not bad. Those could all be achieved by natural means. The truth is that the plant does like more nitrogen than other fruiting plants because it takes a lot of energy to grow the lemons. Now is the time to be feeding it. Lemons are being produced, and it's expending a lot of energy utilizing that outdoor sunlight. Anytime you use a granular fertilizer, you want to cover it with compost or soil. So in your case, if the soil line in the pot is high enough, you want to use a technique called scratching the fertilizer into the surface. You want to use a couple of soup spoons or something like that. Take an inch of soil off, put the fertilizer down, then recover it with soil and water. That'll help it get utilized by the plant quicker. The 12-4 whatever, that sounds perfectly acceptable. I think the plant will react nicely to that.
Excuse me, if I need to put new soil in would just regular potting soil with peat moss mixed in be acceptable?
A potting soil would be mostly peat moss to start with. So
You
don't want to mix more in. And the peat moss in potting soil will be pH adjusted. You don't want to go fooling around with peat moss on its own. I think people really don't understand its properties. But a good light potting soil would be good. And these indoor lemons love compost. So if you can get some yard waste compost mixed in there, that would give it a gentle feeding all year long.
Right. Okay. Very good. I'm excited about it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Good luck, Dawn.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Lulu, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Lulu. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I am just ducky, thank you. Where is Lulu great?
I am from North Wilmington, Delaware.
Okay, very good. What can we do for Lulu in the small wonder of a state?
Wonderful. So I have this compost pile that I've been following the rules that you set forth and using shaded leaves and putting in coffee grinds in there, and I mix it for years. I've been getting great compost, putting them in my garden. So I did the same thing this year. And I think I probably messed up a little bit by putting from October or Halloween leftover pumpkins in there.
Right.
And so compost was looking great. It's rich, nice. Put it in my garden. My garden's looking great. I put it around all my flower beds in different places around my house. Leave for vacation. I come back and all these plants are everywhere. These huge leaves, huge flowers. And at first I was like, what the heck? Let me start pulling them out. And then as I look closer, I'm like, I think these are squash plants because they look like my squash plants.
Yep.
And then eventually I think these are pumpkins because I can have this memory. I have never done that before. I've never done anything other than the leaves and the coffee grind. But I was like.
But this is fun.
Is it fun? Because now I don't have access to my compost.
Oh, because the vines are growing out of the compost.
Oh, my God, it's beautiful. It's like all these plants, but I can't use my compost.
Now, okay, so volunteer plants are some of the most delightful things that can happen in the garden. The most common volunteer plant is potatoes coming up in your garden. Because at harvest time, you always miss a potato. The next year, they come up. Sometimes they come up in inopportune places. I have one growing almost out of a tomato plant right now. But I'm just going to leave it alone. I know those potatoes are going to be fabulous. The second is pumpkins. Now, all pumpkins are squash. All pumpkins are members of the squash family, but not all squash are pumpkins. Now, it sounds like you bought your pumpkin in one of these big pumpkin patch fields and everything.
Yep. One of the just local farms.
The odds are good that you will actually get pumpkins on this plant. But if it had been in your home garden, squash bees would have cross-pollinated the plants with your other squash, and you would get a wild card. One year this happened to me, and the vines were ginormous, and by this time in the season, I could see that they weren't pumpkins, and they were gigantic white birdhouse gourds. The gourds were about 3 feet tall each. They had that classic birdhouse dipper shape. It was hilarious. Do you have fruits coming out yet?
I do. I looked at it this morning.
Yeah.
And there's this green little melonish looking on one or two of the vines in the compost one. The other ones around my house, they just have beautiful big leaves in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then they shiver up and flowers, but I don't see anything happening.
Well, you should, because I'm sure you've got lots of bees in your garden and other pollinators. Yeah. Yeah, and they'll do their work and you'll get fruits. They may not be pumpkins. It is a wild card. You don't know what you're going to get. It is so much fun. I don't know how big your pile is. Maybe you can harvest some from the back end or something like that without disturbing the squash vines. But if this were happening to me, I would laugh. I would go buy a bag of premium compost from my other plants, and I would just be really anxious to see what kind of fruits I got. Now, if you can differentiate the different vines from each other, make sure that once the fruits are fully formed that you don't let more than 3 fruits grow on any individual vine.
So do I pull the little ones off or something?
Yes, exactly. You pull all the little fruits off or you pick the flowers off and eat those. All squash flowers are edible.
Oh, what?
Yeah, all squash flowers are edible. You'll find lots of recipes online, but the classic is to get that soft cheese from the supermarket or a gourmet supplier, get soft cheese, and stuff the flowers with the soft cheese and just eat it straight.
Oh, okay. I would definitely research that.
Squash blossoms are edible, a lot of fun, really classy. You have a little bit of a dinner party. You put like two of those on each person's plate as an appetizer. They go over huge.
So my compost pile is in the back of my house and underneath what I call the red burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
So do I need to give it more sunlight? I mean, there's just basically, there's nothing I should do.
Just accept this gift from nature and enjoy it.
Okay. All right. I'm excited. I'll send you some pictures.
Okay. Yeah. We love volunteer plants.
Thanks, Mike.
My pleasure. You have a good season.
You too. Bye.
Well, it's time for me to take a little break and announce that I will speak at the American Birding Expo in Oaks, PA on Saturday, September 22nd. But don't go looking for all the details at the events section of our website just yet, because we'll be right back with the many moods of filthy flies and more of your fabulous phone calls. I'm Mike McGrath, and you're listening to You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia.
Support for You Bet Your Garden is provided by the Espoma Company, offering a complete selection of natural organic plant foods and potting soils. More information about Espoma and the Espoma Natural Gardening Community can be found at espoma.com.
Welcome back to You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm your host, Mike McGrath. Coming up later in the show, believe it or not, flies can be beneficial in the garden. I know you don't believe it, so stay tuned and you'll find out why. In the meantime, lots of your fabulous phone calls. Marge, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, Mike. I'm not having trouble with flies, but I am with mud wasps.
Okay. Where is Marge and her mud wasps?
I live in Marlton, New Jersey.
Okay. Just outside of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. And I have a paver driveway. And I think they probably didn't put the driveway in correctly. I think they should have used gravel, and they probably didn't. We didn't put it in. We bought the house after it was installed. But the wasps keep coming up between the pavers, and I'm afraid it's going to collapse.
That's not likely, but it's also an unusual situation. What color are these wasps?
They're black.
They're black. So typically when you get wasps coming up out of the ground, mm-hmm. they would be yellow, and they would be yellow jackets, and they would be incredibly dangerous. Mud dauber wasps and paper wasps tend to build their homes inside light fixtures outdoors or behind shutters or up in the eaves or something like that. They're typically not ground-based creatures. Has anybody been stung?
No. And you can walk through a flock of them, and they don't seem to mind. But I kind of Googled them, and it looks like mud wasps.
Okay.
But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I'm going to ask you to Google two more creatures.
Okay.
Because these are both true wasps, and they are ground nesters, but they are not known for stinging people. And you say they're swarming, so you see more than one at a time?
I do.
Okay, so then my first thought is a creature called the blue-winged wasp.
Okay.
B-L-U-E. I helped build a garden in the Salvation Army's big facility in North Philadelphia. I helped build a community garden out there. And after it had been established for a couple of years, I got this call that there were, quote, bees hovering over like one big portion of the garden. And I figure, oh, they're ground nesting native bees, or I should go out and check to make sure they're not yellow jackets. So I walked through this swarm, which was amazing. There must have been 50 or 60 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked through harmlessly, and then I started to look at these creatures real much more closely, and I started to decide that they probably weren't bees, but that they were a wasp. And that's when I learned about the blue-winged wasp. It nests underground. It nests in individual holes, but with large colonies. And it's neither good nor bad. It's just kind of there. And again, in our garden with kids running around all the time and everything, nobody ever got stung. The other would be the famous cicada killing wasp. And these are very large wasps. The female will look for a cicada, you know, those creepy, noisy guys.
Yes.
And she'll fly into the tree or wherever the cicada is, and she will sting it and paralyze it. And then whether it stays in the tree or it falls to the ground, she will pick it up and fly it to a hole. Now, this thing, this cicada, is three times her